This is Victory House.
We're going to get into the word. Can we pray? Please arise and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Blessed be your name. We thank you for the reality of a resurrected Christ. We thank you for a new life in him. And as we gather before you this morning, we ask that you will open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts, that we will receive the word of truth, which is able to save our souls. And we ask that you will grant us courage and the power to do as you speak to us. Above all, let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 19 and verse 30. John chapter 19 and verse 30. And I have been given the opportunity to speak to you today. And I hope that in the simplicity of my message, you will recognize the power of God that comes through the word of God. Amen. John 19 and verse 30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. I will read again. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, what did he say? "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. I believe that it is important for us to understand and recognize that Jesus was not murdered. Jesus died, but he chose to die. Amen? He wasn't forced to die, but he chose to die. And he died for your sin and mine. Amen? Amen. And aren't we glad that he did? Aren't we glad that he did? Glory to God. The Bible says in John 10 and verse 18 that I have authority. This is Jesus saying that I have the authority to lay down my life and to take it up again. And I think that is important to know. So when Jesus is saying it is finished, in my mind I see him saying mission accomplished. I see him saying mission accomplished. And I'll tell you about one of my missions. I believe that God has given me an assignment to communicate his love for man and his recommended response to that love. Now, God loves us, amen? But he has a way that he wants us to respond to that love. Amen? And that way is through Scripture. Amen? And so I believe that that is one of my assignments. That is one of the things that God has told me to do to help improve or enhance relationships between man and God and between man and man. So every day I get the opportunity to maybe do what I'm doing right now, I feel like I'm tending towards my mission accomplished. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus had a mission. What was Jesus' mission? John 1:29. Now, we know Jesus as a healer. We know Jesus as a preacher. We know Jesus as a teacher, and he did all these things. He healed the blind eyes. He healed the lame. He preached and he taught. But I believe that there is one thing that Jesus could do that no one else could. Because we can see from Scripture, there are people that have healed others before. Amen? They do it in the name of Jesus, but they are conduits for that healing. We have seen people preaching. We have seen people teaching. But there is one thing that only Jesus could do. There is one thing that was his primary assignment on the earth. And ladies and gentlemen, that is in John 1 and verse 29. The Bible says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look. Other translations say, behold. I like behold because it sounds a little bit more dramatic. forgive me, but look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus' mission was primarily to take away the sin of the world. If he had preached and he had healed and he had done all this that he did and yet did not die and come up to life, then we would still be to be pitied. Amen? We would still be in a bad state. Amen? But thank God that Jesus came. Thank God that Jesus died. Thank God that Jesus rose again from the dead. Amen? Amen. And what is sin? I know we are church people, and sometimes we do not talk about this. And I believe that there are times that it is important to explore it. What is sin? What is sin? Growing up, throughout the years, I'm an 80 born, don't age me, but I've been alive long enough to see society change, to see society progress or in a certain respect. I have seen cultures changing from what was abhorrible before to something that is acceptable now. So we cannot define sin on the basis of what pop culture or popular culture says it is. And sometimes because of the changing scene or the changing scene of sin, it becomes sin becomes a little bit abstract. We don't understand what is sin anymore. But ladies and gentlemen, sin is defined by the Word of God. That is the single reliable place where we can judge sin. We can decide that this is sin and this is not. Amen? I was thinking through this message, and one of the things that came to my heart was that sin ranges from attitudes to actions that violate the Word of God. Now, I don't know about you, but that is a little bit scary for me. If it is actions, then I think maybe there are some things that I'm not doing, and I'm glad. But then, if it ranges from actions to even thoughts or attitudes, that is a broad, broad brush. So, Jesus dying or taking away the sin of the world was of great significance for our salvation. Because I know some of you, maybe not some of you here, some of you that are watching by a live stream, you're thinking some bad things now. That is the extent of what it means to sin. Anything that violates the word of God, or anything that violates the will of God. While I was thinking about this, I went online and Googled. Thank God for Google. And I wanted to find out, what is sin? That is the question that I was asking myself. And then I was led to Billy Graham's website. And I won't say the let because I believe his significance is applicable even to us today. Amen. No one says the let Jesus. Amen. No one says the let Apostle Paul. Amen. So I went to Billy Graham's website, and I think it is of importance because he's one of the greatest evangelists that we have known have been in our time, maybe ever. But here's what he said. When they asked him what sin is, how to define sin, he said that a sin is any thought or action that falls short of God's will. God is perfect. God is perfect. And anything we do that falls short of God's perfection is sin. I have said this before, maybe here, maybe not here, that a straight line with a chink is no longer straight. A white garment with a stain is no longer really white. So anything that we do that violates God's perfection is sin. Sin is sin, large or small, thought or action. It is sin. And so I'm trying to paint the picture that we were doomed. You and I were doomed. You may look at me and you think that boy, he's a very jolly boy. He's a very, nothing, he doesn't do wrong. Newsflash. I do some wrong things, and I think some wrong things, but thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. But the concept of sin, or the reality of sin, even extends a little bit farther than this. The Bible in Romans 14 and verse 23, here's what the Bible says, that anything that you do not do by faith is sin. So if there's anything that you're not doing or that you do not do, one of the translations says that anything that you do and you believe is not right, you're sinning. But it goes even a little bit farther than that. It goes as far as saying that anything that you know is good and you should do and you do not do, it is sin to you. That is how far we were. That is how far God came to save us. Amen? Thank God for the blood. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the mercy of God. So, when we were faced with this challenge called sin, there was only one way out of it. And that way is Jesus. The mercy of God expressed through Jesus. Let's read John 3:16. John 3:16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son," or I would say his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen? God so loved you and I and the people that are not here that he gave his son. He gave Jesus that whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but have eternal life. I have shared before that as I was thinking about mercy, one of the things that dropped in my heart, I believe that that's a word from God for me. He said that the garment of love is woven with threads of mercy. In other words, you cannot fully express love without showing mercy. You cannot fully express love without showing mercy. And we see that because God loved us so much, he had to extend mercy to us. But again, while I was thinking about this, another statement came to my heart. And it says that mercy is built on the foundation of sacrifice. Mercy is built on the foundation of sacrifice. When we look at the Old Testament, they had to sacrifice bulls and goats and all that, and then the mercy of God would come on them. If you look at you and I, Jesus had to be sacrificed. The Lamb of God had to be sacrificed so that you and I can enjoy the mercy of God. So, God in sending Jesus was stretching out his mercy arm over us. And remember that we were far, far, far gone. We were far gone. God's standard of perfection is way up there. And our life, our way of life was so far down that we couldn't make up the gap. But Jesus came as a spotless lamb. The only one that did not violate the law of God. The only one that lived according to the precepts and dictates of God. Remember, Jesus says that I do nothing of myself. It's what I see the Father do, I do. So Jesus came to make up that gap. And ladies and gentlemen, he made it up. He made up the gap. And now, this is how I see the life and death of Jesus. So Jesus lived a perfect life and yet was still condemned to die. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But why did somebody who did not sin still suffer death? It was because of you. It was because of me. Now, you and I, that the Bible says we were born in iniquity. You and I that are sinful or that sin. Because after you accept Jesus, you are a saint who sins. You're not necessarily a sinner. Before you accept Jesus, you are a sinner. right there. But after you accept Jesus, you are saint, but you still sin sometimes. Maybe you take a long time without doing it, but you still do. Amen? So you and I, because Jesus was sentenced to die, and yet he had no sin and did not sin, you and I can receive the gift of God, which is eternal life, even though we are flawed. I don't know about you, but that's shouting ground right there. The fact that my actions that I may not be proud of can be forgiven. My thoughts that I don't want any of you to know can be forgiven. The fact that I can stand before God and God sees Christ in me, that's something to be grateful about. Amen? Hallelujah. So, what does this all mean for you and I, as I quickly close? What does this all mean for you and I? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse, we'll read from 17 to 20. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 20. The Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, do we have any people that are in Christ here today? We're here. Yes. Glory, glory, glory. Glory to God. So this is what the Bible is saying about us. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So let me first stop right there. So God reconciled us to himself. He took the first step. Amen? And many of us love God, but God loves us more. Amen? But the Bible says that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Let's go ahead. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Aren't you glad about that? And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Amen? He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, or I implore you, those of us that may be here, that perhaps this concept of forgiveness is alien to you. You have not received Jesus. This is for you. And maybe you're watching online. It says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. And how do we get reconciled to God? The Bible says that you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus was raised from the dead as the firstborn of the resurrection. He is the first fruit of the resurrection. So if he came up first, then you and I have a hope to come up in him. Amen? Amen? And this is what wraps this whole thing up. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. I believe that the reason why we believe what we believe and why we are here even today is because the Bible says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, that hope to be reunited in the heavens with the Lord. Amen? Amen? Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And death is really an eternal separation from the Father. It's not just the physical death, because the Bible says that for me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so, the physical death is asleep for many of us. Amen? Amen? I will say that again. The physical death is asleep for those who have accepted Jesus. Amen? Amen. But this is the most powerful thing I believe about God. And that's what I believe. The Bible says, for he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. So The Bible is saying that we can believe God. We can believe God. If he says it, he will make it come to pass. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if we couldn't believe God, then what are we doing? If people have said that, and I'm going to close 3-4 minutes. People have said that, oh, God is a benevolent God. How can a good God send people to hell? To say that is to dispute the word of God, or at least portions of the word of God. And if one portion of the word of God is wrong, then pretty much the whole thing is wrong. But if I were speaking naturally with human logic, I may not know the heavenly answer to that, but if I were speaking with human logic, I would say that God does not send men to hell. Men choose to go to hell. Because, see, if I give you a key to my house and tell you when you get there, open and get in, and then you get to my house and you stay outside and it rains, it snows, and you're there for years and years, we have a back door so I can come in. I may not see you coming. I will come in and we'll live life and you'll still be at the door. Amen? You cannot turn around and then say, you made me stay out here and it's all on you. We can't live up to God what he has left up to us. The Bible is saying that be reconciled to God. This is a plea that we are making. Be reconciled to God. And how do we do that? You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So I want us, some of us, we're just going to be renewing our vows. Amen. Some of us may be saying it for the first time. And Pastor Toyosi led us earlier. But I want to give an opportunity again. Just bow your head for a second. And we are going to say this out. And again, if you're renewing your vows, it's as good. It's still good. Amen. It's still good. We're going to ask Jesus to be Lord over our lives. I want you to say this after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sin. I believe God raised you from the dead. I ask you to come into my heart. Be Lord over my life. I declare that I am saved. Help me live a life that pleases you. In Jesus' name. And again, if you've said that for the first time, if you're watching online, please reach out to us or find a Bible-believing church right close to you. If you've said that for the first time and you're with us in person, please see one of the pastors after, see Pastor Toyosi after. Amen. I want you to arise. Let me pray over you really quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the gift of new life, eternal life. Lord, we thank you because you are faithful. We ask, oh Lord, that you will guard this word in our hearts by your Spirit. Grant us courage to be able to share it with somebody that may not know it. That we will take on that office of ambassadors. It is for your glory, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.